6. Now, I've preached on this text over the years, I don't know how many times, but I had a brand new thought on that thing the other day, and I decided I was going to preach it. So if you'll look in Genesis chapter 26, and we'll start down in verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father. The Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names by the names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdman of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdman, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of that well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for thy servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Then Abimelech went unto him, or went to him from Gerar, and Asheroth, one of the friends of Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, Wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me and have sent me away from you? And they said, We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, Let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee. even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us power, wisdom, liberty to preach. May the Word of God be quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. May it meet the need in every heart and in every life. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to bring you a little message this morning entitled, If You Want to Drink, You Got to Clean the Well. I really wanted to call it the fat cat, but I knew my wife would fuss at me for that because it just sounds irreverent. But if I had my choice, I'd call it the fat cat. But anyway, you'll get the idea in a minute. That's a very simple story. Abraham was down in a strange land because back some time ago in his own land there was a famine and he had to leave and he went down there and Abraham got terribly backslid down there. And from the time God told him to leave his country and get there until he shows up here in the latter part of chapter 26, you never hear Abraham mention God one time. He just leaves God out of everything. And he's backslid. When they ask him about his wife, he was kind of gutless, and instead of standing up for her, he said, She's my sister, so that if the men took her, they'd leave him alone. That's kind of chicken. That's kind of not exactly being the kind of man we anticipate a fella being, amen? Every woman wants a man that's willing to die to save her. I don't know how Sarah felt about that after that, you know, because she knew right away he wasn't up speed here. I mean, he didn't step up. And so Abraham is down in a strange land, and he's not doing well, and he's out of touch with God. Yeah, he's God's servant, he's God's man. He just got out of touch with God. And when you do that, a number of things happen in your life. And there are a number of things in life that tend to help us or enable us to get away from God. Abraham did not set out, it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're talking about the middle boy this morning. So Isaac gets backslid, and there are a number of things that caused that. We're going to look at some of those. And the number one thing that causes God's people to get out of fellowship with God is good times. But the worst thing that can happen to most people is for everything to be okay. And so I want to look at that this morning. Let's read, and I call Abraham or Isaac the fat cat. If I keep saying Abraham, y'all just transpose, all right? It's a scribal error. Now, I want you to understand that we're going to use this passage of Scripture to teach a spiritual truth. That's what the Bible does. Somebody once said that the Old Testament is God's picture book to explain the New Testament. You get your doctrine in the New Testament, primarily in the Pauline epistles, but the illustrations of the truth contained in New Testament doctrine are generally found in Old Testament examples or pictures. That's the way the Lord taught. He said, wherewithal shall I liken the kingdom of heaven? It's like unto a man going into a far country, see? And he paints a picture. And the Lord, that's the way the Lord taught. He used similitudes and parables and parallels and those. And so we're going to use this passage as a picture to illustrate a spiritual truth. In the Bible, water is most often, there are three ways it's generally used. It's water, H2O, and you drink it. It is good for you. Amen. Now, back here in the Old Testament, they had that, how many ounces did they rule? How many ounces of water do they tell you need to drink these days? Yeah. Man, if I drank 64 ounces of anything, I'd be floating. But back here, they didn't drink Pepsis. They didn't drink Mountain Dews. I would not have wanted to live back then. 20-ounce Mountain Dews are provision sent from God. It's nectar from heaven. Amen. They didn't have them. Everybody back here drank water. So if you got thirsty, the only thing you could do to slake your thirst was get you a drink. A good cool water. Now, so in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible said, all scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Now, what that means is that there's four ways I can use every passage of scripture. And this morning we want to use it just for instruction. We want to use it to see, to visualize a spiritual truth. Sometimes things are kind of abstract, and so we have to put them in the here and now so people see them and understand them. It just makes comprehension a lot better. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, water is pictured as the Word of God. By the washing of water, by the Word. That's how you get cleaned up. That's what happens. The Holy Spirit takes the Bible and uses that to refresh us and cleanse us. And so water can picture the Word of God. Then, in John chapter 4, verse 12 through 15, water is used to picture or symbolize the work, the person, the ministry of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. It's the job of the Spirit to clean us up. And the Holy Spirit in us is that well of water springing up unto eternal life. Amen. And so we need both of those. We need the water of the Word, and we need the water of the Spirit. The Spirit is what makes that book refreshing. That's what strengthens us and revives us and cleanses us. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. That book refreshes us. It perks us up. When you're down and out and dry and dusty and dreary and your lips are parched and you can't hardly swallow and your tongue is stuck to the roof of your mouth and you really need a drink, a spiritual drink, the place to go is the Word of God. And God can refresh you and revive you. Amen? Now, so bearing that in mind, I want to use this little passage as a lesson this morning to help us get a drink. Now here's the problem. In this story, Isaac, I don't know, I'm going to get Abraham out of my head in a minute. Isaac has gone down into the land of the heathen because there was a famine in his land, and he's sojourning down there, and God blesses him. Plants and raises his crops and raises his animals. It's a hundredfold increase in 1 year. And just a couple of years, he is just a rich, rich man. He's become the fat cat. You know, that's what they say about people who've got everything. Boy, he's fat cat. I mean, he's got it made. Everything's going his way. Life is just one big blessing. And so Abraham becomes the fat cat. He's the wealthiest man in the land. He's got the biggest house, the prettiest wife, the nicest car. I mean, he had two camels with silver toenail covers. He had saddles on them camels with silver ointments, and they were engraved in handcrafted leather. And his camels had bells on them, and they tinkled when they walked. You know, you could hear them coming miles away. And I mean, boy, he just had the fanciest camels in anybody's stable. When Isaac drove up on his camel, everybody kept looking. Boy, ain't that something? I mean, it'd be like me and you driving up in a big Mercedes, you know. If y'all want to buy me one, you can. I thought I'd throw that out. Anyway, Abraham had, oh boy, he had a big old house up on the hill, had a full basement, and they had, down there in the basement, they had a family room down there. He had pool table and ping pong table, and had one of them home theater things down there with 20 leather seats in the ceiling and the walls and all painted black. I mean, he had a sound system, Bose Wave and all that stuff. I mean, he had state art, top-notch satellite. You name it, he's got it down there. And boy, you go upstairs, I'm saying, this fella did not buy his furniture and stuff. Furniture out yet. I can't afford to buy down there. But he bought his stuff at all them expensive places. He paid $2,000 for one leather chair, you know. And I mean, just, he had a big fancy house. He's a rich man. So he has all the things that rich people have. Now, the problem with that is this. He forgot all about God. He's suffering from the fat cat syndrome. In verses 12 through 14, everything is good in Isaac's life. He's got no health issues. He's got no family issues. He's got no financial issues. You say, well, we're not rich. No. You could still suffer from the same fat cat syndrome. The idea here is not that you have to be rich to be complacent. All you have to do is have the good life. Most of you got your bills paid. You got a little old job. Your family's doing okay. I mean, you got your everyday, ordinary, run-of-the-mill little problems, this, that, and the other. But for the most part, most of us live pretty good here in America. We're eating every day. Amen. We're putting money in our 401k. Our kids get an education. Most of us aren't dying with cancer that we know anything about. And so, in America, we got the good life. We got the good life. We talk about the poor and all. There are not many poor in America. I mean, there's some little pockets of poor. But I tell you what, most of the folks that say they're poor making $25,000 a year and got a 4 or 5 room house and got an air conditioner and got running water. Now, if you want to see poor, go over to some of them third world countries where they're living in a thatch hut and they got a rag tied around their waist and they're eating half a bowl of rice a day. Now, them folks are poor. I mean, they ain't even got satellite TV over there. How bad is that? Americans suffer from the fat cat syndrome. We've got the good life. And for the most part, most of our lives are good and sound, and we're healthy and happy, and we can afford to take vacations, and we can go shopping, and we can buy clothes, and this, that, and the other. You say, well, I can't buy all I want. No, but you're not going naked. You're not doing that. You're not destitute, see?
Most of us have reasonably comfortable lives, like Abraham. Then, down in verse 16, something happens. The fat cat gets kicked out. Oh, Abraham, Isaac is down there, and Isaac's just having the time of his life, and things are going his way, and all his cows are having twins. Amen. He plants a row of wheat, and it produces for five rows of wheat. And I mean, everything's just going his way. God's just blessing. But now, you notice Isaac ain't saying nothing about God. I mean, you ain't seen God show up in there anywhere. Oh, Isaac's just working and laboring and getting blessed, and he ain't giving no credit to God. He's not giving any glory to God. He's just doing his little thing. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, in verse 16, a fella comes up and said, listen, you got to pack your stuff and move. We're throwing you out. We don't want you down here anymore. You're too big for us. You're too powerful for us. Now, they did that because they were envious. But the point is, they did it. Now, what I want you to see is this. Isaac was living the good life, and he was enjoying it, and everything was going his way. He was the fat cat. And then, for no known reason, totally unexpected, undeserved, unplanned for, unanticipated, his life got turned slam upside down. Ain't that what happens to us? You ask somebody, say, how things going? Oh, man, things been going good. Man, just things just been kind of going my way. Life's good. You see them a week later, 2 weeks later, you say, how things going? Oh, man, my life's a wreck. My wife went off with the postman. The kids are rebellious. Suffered bankruptcy. My house burned down, didn't have any insurance. Went to the doctor, and he said, we need to send you to the oncology ward. I mean, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, unanticipated and certainly unwanted, life just gets turned upside down. One minute, Isaac was the fat cat, and everything was going his way, and then without any warning whatsoever, he's booted out. And his life, as he knows it, changed forever and ever and ever. It's never, ever going to go back and be like it was. That happens to people all the time. Then, down in verse 17, the fat cat has to get out. He gets kicked there in verse 16. Verse 17 said, Isaac packed his stuff, got his wife and kids, threw them in the Suburban and hit the road. Got his GPS and headed for Gerar. Ain't that what it says? Y'all reading the same Bible I got? I'm just giving you the 21st century version there. So he packs up and he leaves. And he goes down in this little valley, and it's kind of quiet and pleasant down there, so he packs his stuff in. He gets down there and goes, you know what's missing down there, though? It's a nice little place. There's no water. There's no water. What are you going to do without water? I'll tell you what you're going to do without water. You're going to die, dude. You're going to die. Without good, clean water, we die. And Abram gets down there, and he's got his wife and his youngins and the servants and the men servants and the maid servants, and probably got two or three generations of grandkids and stuff. He took his whole household with him. That's the way they did it back then. When the numero uno one guy, when he left, he took everybody with him, you know. He was the big shot. He was the fat cat. And he gets down there, and all of a sudden he's got all his people and all his life. And there ain't nothing to drink. We call that a predicament. Boy's in a fix. He's thinking to himself, what am I going to do? We're going to perish down here. All of a sudden, he's thirsty. long time. He's had every need met, every want satisfied. He's been living a good life. He's been the fat cat. Everything was there for whatever he wanted. He could take as much as he wanted, any time he wanted it. And all of a sudden, he's dropped and his parts, needs a drink, and there's no drink.
Terrible predicament to be in.
to need water and not have it. You see, most of the time we don't even think about it. We just go to the tap and get us a cold glass or open the fridge and get a bottle. And we don't give it a second thought. But I bet you if on a hot sunny day you're out there cutting the grass or weeding the garden or whatever it is you do, all that can make you physical for me. Break out of sweat and get off. You want to 5 minutes and you'll be in the house to get you a drink. You want to get wet back and you're back. That's only been 30 minutes, knucklehead. Drink, I can't stand that. I'm going to get the car and ride down to the store and get me one of them bottled water things. If you go down and the store's closed, I bet you in about 2-3 hours you'd be in a panic. That's just the way we are. Now, so the fat cat can't find a cool drink. In verse 19 and 21, the fat cat calls his way to clear, cool water. It said, the unfathomed wells. Abraham said, now there was a well out there my buddy dug that. Isaac said, Abraham dug that well. Said, I know there's water down there. All we got to do is get this junk out of the way. Well, what are we going to do? They said, let's get the junk out of the way, man. We're down here. So they re-dig the well, they get all the dirt and all the junk out, and they get it out, and there's water down there. Good, clean, clear, cool water. It's been there all the time. He just didn't need it, just never took advantage of it. And it got all cluttered up, and all the junk got in the way, and the reason he couldn't get a drink was because the junk of this world got between him and the water. You know why Christian people can't get a drink? Why they can't get a refreshing from the Holy Spirit? Why the hope of the Bible doesn't speak to their heart? Why they don't have any joy in the Lord? The Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know why Christians don't have any strength? Why they don't have any joy? They can't get a drink. Why can't they get a drink? Because they let the world get between them and the water. We get our lives so filled up with other things that there's no way to communicate with God. There's no way to let a vessel down in the well and get a drink. We get so busy making a living. We get so busy raising the kids. We get so busy doing this and making money and going there. We get so busy planning vacation. We get so busy raising our children. We get wrapped up in our grandchildren. We get sidetracked with this thing and that thing. And pretty soon, we've got all this stuff between us and God. And when we need Him, we don't have access to Him because everything in the world, literally, everything in the world is between us and Him. Abraham looked at that thing. Oh, glory to God. He looked at that thing and he said, I'm thirsty. And there's water right there. And I'm going to get it. So everything that stopped the well, Abraham dug out. He cleaned that well out so that it could be a blessing to him and a blessing to his family. You know what we have to do, folks? If you want the power of God in your life, if you want the peace that passes all understanding, if you want the joy of the Lord, you've got to clean the well out. If you want a drink, you've got to clean it out. What does that mean? That means that spiritually, you have to clean your life up and all the things that are displeasing to God, all the things that would separate you from God, everything that would break your fellowship, everything that would isolate you from God Almighty, you need to examine your life and get that thing fixed up and get it out of your life so that the world is clean and there's access to the water. What do you do with the debris that came out of the well? They threw that thing in the trash pile. And get rid of it. Now, when he did that, there was water at the bottom of the well. Now look down in verse 19, 20, 21. The fat cat learns a lesson. An open well is hard to maintain. He hadn't hardly got that thing built or dug. Then the people of Gera cut down and said, no, 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 that's ours. You can't have that one. You won't hardly get right with God. You won't get your fellowship restored. You won't get that peace and joy that you've been looking for, that sense of His presence, that sense of assurance with God. You won't get that well dug and get refreshed by it. You won't hardly get it done, and the old devil will be sitting there and say, you can't have that well. That's not yours. And every time you try to get close to God, every time you try to reestablish your fellowship with God, every time you try to get in that well and get strengthened and get refreshed, I guarantee the devil is standing right there at the mouth of that thing to threaten and to cajole and to run you off and say, no, 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 you're not entitled to this anymore. This is not yours anymore. You can't keep this anymore. I like what Abraham did. He's dug him another well. And they said, well, we'll come take that one. He said, okay, well, bless God, he dug another one. He kept digging well. Okay, all right, you win. So what he's saying, I'm saying sometimes it's a battle, sometimes it's a struggle to stay right with God. There are so many things in this world that would distract our mind and pull at our heart and fill our eyes that it's hard for us to stay focused on God. It is so easy to get caught up in the everyday things. The children need this, and the wife needs that, and I want this, and the neighbors have got one of them, and there's a new one of these things coming out, and we want what this world has to offer, and we let it blind us, we let it separate us, we let it fill the well, so we don't have access to the clean, clear water of God and His Spirit, and spiritually, we're just dry. Spiritually, we're dry. Spiritually, we don't have any contact with God anymore. All we are is Satan living in this present evil world. Now, in verse 22, the fat cat finally gets it. Look at verse 22. This is the first time in a long time you've seen this. In verse 22, chapter 26, verse 22, what does Isaac say? He said, the Lord. The Lord finally got back to God. He finally got back to giving the glory to God. He finally got back to giving the credit to God. He got God in his life. Now, God hadn't gone anyplace. Abraham wasn't left. Abraham was the one that was negligent. Abraham was the one that slept while the Philistines stopped the well. Isaac did all that. Isaac. Remember him. Isaac did all that stuff. Isaac was the one that was lazy. The wells got stopped because of his negligence. Now, he's finally got a hold of God. He's finally going to give the credit where it belongs. He said, God made a place for us. God has established us. God did this thing. And I'm going to tell you, buddy, the first step, the first thing you ought to do when you're reestablishing fellowship with God, when you're trying to get a cool spiritual drink, when you're trying to get in touch with God and get His peace and His joy and the assurance of your salvation, the first thing to do is give God all the credit for everything that's good in your life. Some people, the only time we talk about God when we're at the church house. I'm here to tell you, God ought to be everywhere with you. Y'all talk about it at home. Talk about it with your neighbors. Now, not only did the fat cat finally get it, the fat cat finally gets his drink in verse 24. It said, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night. Here's what he'd been looking for. He left God way back over yonder someplace. And all them wells got stopped up, and there was no refreshment, and there was no fellowship, and you couldn't stand around the well and everybody have a cool drink. But as soon as he got that well dug and acknowledged God, God showed up. You see, God hasn't forsaken you. God doesn't leave you forever. He said, look, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. God doesn't leave you. Why don't you leave God? But when we get right, when we get thirsty, when we'll dig that well and call on God, God's right there. He said, the same night. God didn't say, now, you know, little Steve, you know what a hypocrite he is anyway. Just a sinner, and just, you know, he's just a full flusher. And he's calling, he wants to get right, but I'm going to teach him a lesson. I'm going to be quiet. And he's not even going to think I'm here. I'm just standing over here in the corner and watch him squirm. That ain't what God does. God loves you. God cares about you. And when you're willing to clean that well out so that the Holy Spirit can be a well springing up in you unto everlasting life, God will be there. The problem is never God. The problem is always us. In verse 25, the fat cat keeps the well open and the water flowing. In verse 25, you know what he did? He dug another well. If one is good, two is better. Not only did he dig a well, he built an altar. Well, Isaac learned a lesson. He said that well was stopped up and the Philistines did it. The well is open and God did it. So every time when he built that well, he put an altar there. He's going to keep religion. He's going to keep his fellowship with God close at hand. So that well stayed open. That well and God, service to God, fellowship with God, and the satisfaction that comes from the drink go hand in hand. And Isaac said, I've got the well, and I want the God that goes with the well. And so he built an altar down there. You know what we need to do, folks? God's people need to get the world out of their lives and put God first. Now, I know you have to make a living. I know you have to go to work. I do the same thing you do. But I am not going to let it dominate my life. It's not going to be the controlling factor. The spiritual part of life is far more important. If it's a matter of doing something spiritual or doing something carnal, take the spiritual. Make up your mind, come hell or high water, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to live right. I'm going to be moral and honest. I'm going to go to church. When the door's open, I'll be there. I'm going to dig this well. I'm going to dig it deep. And I'm going to put an altar beside of it. And I'm going to keep this well clean. I want to drink when I want to drink. That's what Abraham or Isaac did. And God liked it. God likes it when we clean out the well. And verse 28, the fat cat learns that people know when God is with you. Look down in verse 28. That old Philadelphians came over and they said, we want to sign a peace treaty with you. He said, why? You ran me off. They said, because we saw that certainly God is with you. When you're supposed to be, when you have the peace of God and the joy of God, when you have the power of God, when you got the look of God, people, when your speech betrayeth you, when your life is an example, when you reflect the light of God, when they can see Christ in you, the world knows those folks that live for God. And you ought to be a light. You ought to be a beacon to this old sin-cursed, hell-bound world. People need some place to be able to look and say, I know him, I know her, and God is with them. I can go to them and talk to them, and they can show me how to find God. They can show me where the well is at. You see, up until this point, nobody ever accused Isaac of being God's special property. When he got that well cleaned out, when he built that altar, when he gave the glory to God, the world took notice. Now, I don't care who you are, and I don't care how smart you are or how smart you think you are, there's going to come a day in your life you're going to need a drink. Man that's born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. You live long enough, there's going to come a day when your throat will be dry and your lips will be parched and your tongue will cleave to the roof of your mouth. And you'd say, oh, what I wouldn't give for a cool drink of water. And there ain't going to be one. And you're going to look around and you're going to be so far away from God. You let this steal your time. You let that steal your imagination. You let this get into your heart. You let that blind you. You let this separate you. You've given your time to this and your money to that. And God's not in your life anymore. Well, you still believe in God. You still belong to God. You just don't have any fellowship with God. You don't have any power with God. You don't have any peace from God. You don't have any joy in God. What you're going to have to do is clean that well out and get back where you're supposed to be. You can't get a drink from the well except you go to the well. Got it? The well can be there, but if you don't come to the well, no drink. You want peace and joy and assurance and purpose and reason? You got to come to God. You got to come to the well. Just by you. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, I know how easy it is living in this present evil world. I attract to get